This episode of How Is Your Run Today is being sponsored by PathProjects.com. Visit www.pathprojects.com.
And now, without further ado, here are Brian and Peter.
Brian, this was a fallback week, and I can't believe I'm going to say that my long of 14 miles was a nice rest. That seems crazy, but it was true. It was lower. It actually wasn't a lower mileage week, though. I got to talk to Professor Lollipop about that. You remember him.
Eureka! I've done it again!
Because I still ended up doing like 40, pretty close to 40 miles, and that's a lot. Like, what do we, I mean, okay.
You and I seem to be heading in opposite directions, paths, opposite trajectories.
We were literally going opposite that other day when we went on a big run, sort of not together.
And why don't you describe that?
Well, okay, that was a couple weeks ago. That was towards the end of August, and we met on this path that I had never been on called the Minuteman Bike Path.
Minuteman Commuter Bikeway.
Commuter Bikeway, which apparently is much older than I understood it to be. Because I spoke to a couple friends who have lived in that region.
And their grandparents have been on it, and used to take it.
And the Minutemen took it to walk to work. But it was this nice path that's paved and very safe, and it was a rainy Saturday, which it turns out was probably the best for first exposure as a runner, because it means the bike traffic was kind of at a minimum.
Yeah.
And certainly the walking running traffic was lower, and it was a, you know, nice warm day but rainy and misty. And I left from one end of it, and I think you left sort of from the other end of it.
Yeah, you left from the Cambridge end, and I left from the Bedford end, and we were about 10 miles from each other.
Yeah, and we crossed over at about, I think it was about mile five for each of us, give or take. Although your pace was excellent, and my pace was not lumbering, but lumbering. And then we kept going, and I hit, I think, 9 miles and turned around, and I think you hit about 8 or so and turned around, and then we saw each other again. Now, at the time we saw each other for the second time, you looked like nothing had happened, like you'd barely worked up a sweat, like you were just fine.
Well, what you must have been looking through faulty lenses, because
I couldn't see.
What I had forgotten, I haven't taken that path in a year or more, is that there's a slight decline on the eastern, when you go east, which is what I was doing to begin with, and then you turn around, and there's a, I don't know, 4 mile section or so that's a steady incline, not steep in any place.
But it is.
You're just working a little.
It's
more.
Always there.
And that's when I met you, was at the sort of apex of that 4 mile slow, steady, slight climb. So I was feeling it, and that's exactly what I told you, which was, Peter, I don't care if you feel now. You're about to go downhill for 4 miles.
Yeah, it was a slow roll after I saw you that second time to my car, and it was all good, meaning I just sort of had to just keep fumbling toward the end, as opposed to I didn't realize it was a climb at the beginning. So my first 3 or 4 miles felt much harder than I thought they should, and now I totally understand why. But so I'm very glad to have added that now to my route repertoire. I actually have a 20 coming up. I have 220s that I have to do over the next 3 weeks, and this one coming up this weekend, I might run from my house to that path and back, because it's really only maybe a 3 mile drive to park there. And then, did I tell you what happened with the parking?
No.
Okay, so the entire time, I don't know if you remember because you were probably not really paying attention, I wore a backpack, which I rarely do. I don't usually wear a backpack. but I figure I'm going to have to wear some kind of backpack for the ultra. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I'll just answer that right now.
Yeah. Right. And I didn't have a bladder, but I had a couple water bottles with me, and I think I got to get on the onlines.
Right.
The web is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to order a true hydration pack. And we can talk offline about that. Or we can talk online about that.
If it's about running, we should probably talk about it here.
Well, maybe we should save it for our other podcast that's very niche specific about hydration packs.
That's fine.
Called H2WO. Is that going
to
catch?
H2NO to that.
How was your H2O today?
H2NO to that.
So... anyway, I had some water with me. I was carrying also an organic banana in the side pouch, which I promptly lost in the first 2 miles of my run and didn't realize it till about mile 10.
That's your rookie backpack runner move.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted that banana so bad. I was kind of fantasizing about that banana. And then, so after I saw you that second time, and I said, hey, did you see my banana? And you were like, I don't know what you're saying. I'm tired. I'm going home now.
Right. I can't parse the metaphor from the allegory.
Right. I was a straight shooter, and you were just like, nope. And
I was like, your shorts aren't that short.
What's happening? So what you don't know is I hurt my neck by looking for my banana. The last 5 miles, I just kept looking over to the left. Was that it? And like all these leaves had started to fall, and they were yellow. And I kept thinking I saw it because it was a really good high.
You're like Curious George, running around looking for that banana. You can't find it anywhere.
Right. And you're my man in the yellow hat.
Did you get on all fours at any point?
Well, not for the banana. Just because I got tired.
Oh, just to rest.
Just to. To lick a puddle because all my water had gone.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, we need to work on this hydration.
We're going to work on that. But anyway, to get back to the backpack I was wearing, it's a running backpack. It's fine. I got a little bit of a scrapey scrape in the upper inner arms.
Well, you find new things.
You got
to,
right. Yeah. But in the inside safe pouch, I had a credit card with me because I was like, all right, I'm going to have to pay for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Not expensive.
No.
I mean, $3 at the Alewife tea stop for anyone local who understands where I was. But I had called you from there just before we both departed, and I said, hey, do you know if I need to take my ticket with me, or do I just pay on the way out? What's happening here? And you said, I don't really know, Peter.
I don't remember.
You're the one who's there. Figure it out.
Read the
ticket. I'm going to go run now a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you have to take it with you. And I'm like, okay, that's one more thing I'm going to put in my little special pouch inside my backpack next to the credit card. So I lose the banana. I don't lose the credit card. I get back to the garage. I have run 18 miles. I'm unbelievably tired and damp. It has been raining.
And you're one banana shy of where you need to be.
You can't know how much I needed that banana.
You're making this evidently clear. Abundantly clear.
I get to my car. On the first floor, I look for the parking attendant who I saw on the way out and said, hi, I'm taking this with me because I validate when I get back. What do? I pay? Yeah, pay when you get back. Take it with you. Okay. That was like 6:30 in the morning.
The reason you take it with you is because if someone breaks into your car, they can't leave. That's why. There's no reason to have your
ticket. Oh, it's not like a machine? Because like at the airport, sometimes you pay before back to your... Okay. So I'm totally confused by that. I get to my car. I start my car. I go down the ramp. I pull out my credit card. It's expired.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
I've brought no cash with me.
Oh, no.
And I start to cry in my car. I turn off the engine. There's no attendant because that person left. That was 4 hours ago when I spoke to him.
So now it's just automated?
Yeah, there's a gate in front of me, and I'm like, how loud's it going to be when I drive through this gate? And I said, no, calm down, pull it together. And then another attendant was not the same person. She comes out to fix one of the other machines, like put new receipts in it or something. Mm-hmm. And
they probably do once every 3 months. So you lucked out.
I lucked out. And all I want to do is go home and take my shoes off. I just want to get out of dry. I want to get into dry clothes. I'm not feeling good.
I want to hear how this conversation started.
No, I rifle through the center console, and I manage to pull 12 quarters out of my console.
Whoa.
and I hobble over to this person who's not interested in anything I have to say.
Yeah.
And I put a mask on and I say, excuse me, I my credit card's expired. Like, she does not need to know this.
Right.
My credit card's expired and I brought it with me on this run I just did, and I'm really tired and all I want to do is pay. Can I hand you these 12 quarters and this piece of paper that says I owe $3?
And she's like, this is the fourth time today I've heard this scam. Get out of here.
And she takes my stuff and she goes into a little room, and then she comes back out and just hands me the card again. And again, I'm post 18 miles, man.
Right. No, you have nothing.
So she hands me back the piece of the parking ticket thing, and I don't understand why, but I'm like, oh, I need this. This is my magic key to get out of the garage.
Right.
I thank her profusely. I don't think she said any words to me. I get into my car. The magic ticket works. The gate lifts. You would have thought I won the Olympics.
But what all you really did was pay the right amount.
Yeah, just in a currency they don't usually take, but who cares? And I was lucky to have it, honestly. I was lucky to have, because usually I do keep like a fiver in my sun visor, sure, or something. And but since COVID times,
right? When are you ever doing anything that requires
any
cash
money? No, in fact, people don't want to touch you. They don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
I'm sure I bummed her out by handing her
coins.
She's
still thinking about it now.
Yeah, she's actually doing her show called
Scams I See at the Parking Garage.
I was going to call it Cash Time, but yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, cash in hand.
Cash not in my hand.
Yeah, it's called Venmo.
Dirty money.
It's called Venmo Voices.
Nice.
I would listen to that show.
Let's F that up.
So I might replicate that run for one of my 20 milers, only add in the run to and fro. It's going to end up being too long. I won't be able to go as far as Bedford. Like, I just barely touched Bedford on my initial. But what I liked about it, as opposed to the long runs I do in Brookline or Brighton or Jamaica Plain, I don't have to think about traffic.
That's what I love about it.
You know, you can kind of just go. And so, there are long stretches where you can see in front of you, and if no one's coming, you can remove your mask. And
right, it's not like running in a neighborhood at all.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean, there are some slight grades up or down, but they are very minor. There's no real hills. And yeah, it's really pleasant. And if you do have an emergency where you have to use a bathroom or you have to buy a water or something like that, you do run through a couple of towns. So if you had to do that, you could. The other thing that I want to tell you is that I've done a few 20s on that. And it's great for that because you don't have to think, especially at the end when you're brain dead. You don't have to negotiate traffic or stoplights or anything like that. In fact, Fast Funny Alan London and I did a couple of 20s there a few years back.
I remember that.
So it's very, very convenient. That's the last long run I've done. That was like a couple weeks ago.
So let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
With about 6 weeks left until we attempt a magical event.
Yeah.
That we're not calling anything special.
No.
How many big runs do you have or do you not have? Is it not really like that?
Let me explain the vortex I currently find myself in. Okay, you'll remember we went to New Hampshire and we ran miles, but we didn't, you know, I kind of skipped the long runs that weekend. That seems to continue to happen to me for whatever reason, due to whether I run in some unsanctioned event like the Ko Wo Man I did a couple of weeks ago, which then destroyed me for the whole weekend, or this past weekend where at the last minute I agreed to sign on to some sort of weird relay race, virtual relay race from Las Vegas or LA to Las Vegas or something like that. So a very fast runner, Eric Clawwater, cajoled me and 10 or 11 other fathers. The title of the group was called the Fast AF Fathers. Although I gave the lie to that title completely. I was absolutely the slowest. But thankfully for them, I ran the fewest number of miles. Or it was actually you had to run, it was by time. So you had to get as many kilometers in an hour as you could. regardless of any of that, it destroyed me for like days, even though I only ran about 9 miles in two sessions. And so I didn't do a long run this weekend either. So I don't know what I'm doing. I ran a lot of miles during the week because that's what it was calling for. I was supposed to be doing tempo miles, which I did. I was supposed to be doing strength miles, which is like a little faster than marathon pace. It's just I need to do what you did, and I have to get, at this point, 6 or so weeks out, I need to get rid of all speed work and just put in miles at this point, because I think the idea is to run on tired legs. My legs are just always tired now.
So you're doing it right.
And I have so many rest days in my back catalog at this point. It's like ridiculous. And today I ran for 2 miles. I'm like, ugh. Yesterday I ran for like 5, and I was like, ugh. So I don't know. I have to go back to the lab. I have to figure it out. I have to recalibrate. I just look at every day, and I try not to look ahead at the schedule, but I even just look at like tomorrow, and I'm completely intimidated. So I don't know if I've hit the overtraining mark or if I'm just being lame. I don't know. I mean, I was doing really well up until this point, and I guess this probably happens to everybody, and it certainly happens to me every marathon training cycle, is that it gets really, really hard, and I just kind of shut down. I remember exactly when it happened prior to the Boston Marathon last year. I remember the day, because I felt great after 2 long runs, and then I don't think I ran for like 3 or 4 days, because I was just toast. Both mentally and physically. So I actually feel fine now. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I think I have a 16 this weekend, but it's this Hansen method. So I have like an 8 and a 16, and on Saturday and Sunday. And then, it's similar all the way through. But I have yet to even hit one of those things. Like I've run some 15s and 16s, but I haven't run the other miles. Sometimes when it says run 8, I run 2 or 0. So I haven't been putting in all the miles, and it's troubling, it's worrisome, and yet last month tells me that I ran way more miles than I have all year. So I guess I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I'm highly confident that you will crush our event in mid-April.
I just want to finish
October.
April.
Yeah, mid-April you'll be ready. Mid-October, you're going to be fine.
I just want to finish. That's all I'm
saying.
You're
going to be fine. You finish.
That's all I want to do.
We can finish whenever we want.
No.
But it'd be great to get back to your house.
No, your credit card's expired. We can't get an Uber. It's not going to happen.
Can't get my car out of hock.
Nope. So, yeah, that's going to happen. And it really is only September. Like, we'll still be running in October, obviously. But September continues to be the build-up. And we'll see how that goes.
Well, how was your run today? Did you have anything?
I did. So this weekend was just running these two, the 6 and the 9. I mean, I ran 6 miles in an hour at 10 o'clock at night.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And I hadn't been good to myself prior to that. Like, I had an extensive celebratory dinner with cocktails.
It was a little bacchanalia.
So, well, not bacchanalia, but I was at a fundraiser, a socially distant fundraiser, and it was, it was a lot to strap on the shoes and get those 6 miles in. And then the next morning, after not sleeping well because I kept thinking I was going to miss my session, so I kept waking up like every 45 minutes like, oh, did I miss it? Did I miss my time? Did I miss my time? I finally got out there and banged out another 3-something.
Nice.
And no. And then so Monday I didn't do anything. I don't know. No. One day I ran 5 miles. One day I did nothing. I don't even remember. I went on a long bike ride with Andrea, which was great. And then today I did a November project workout and then did 2 miles of shakeout. And actually I have to say that the last mile felt fine. So I was sort of like, okay, maybe things are starting to come together. But I am a little concerned about how things are going. Not mentally, emotionally, which is usually the problem. I start to get down on myself. It's more like physically like, there's no pain. Knock on wood. I don't have any pain while I run. I think my legs are just tired.
I think that's probably true.
And maybe I need to spend more time on nutrition and hydration. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really pushing it And I've found a limit for right now.
Maybe you should foam roll.
Yeah, I used to be good at that. Like a year ago, I was the best foam roller ever. Now I don't even know where it is. It's in the cobweb somewhere.
You got to find it, dig it out, clean it off.
I mean, I pulled it out one time for the August challenge, and then that's all she wrote. So, yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, I just hear that you're tired, and your muscles are tired, and your legs are tired, and you're doing all the right things,
though.
Yeah,
but you're running like twice as many miles
not
as
true.
I am.
Three times. That is not at all true. Not even close to true. And I will confess to you that I went 6 good days or 7 good days without any Sams, and that was totally a mistake.
And that was a mistake.
I finally brought them back today. And today I was no run. Today was just, I went for a 2.5+ mile walk just to get my miles, you know, just to keep my legs moving. And then came back and got right back into the Sam habit because you got to keep the Sam thing up.
I agree with that.
And I could feel it. Even in my 14 miler that I hadn't done them, I could be like, oh, there's some weakness right there. Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah. It's deep. It's late in the miles when your legs are tired. You know when you've done them and you know when you haven't. That's for sure. Hey, you know, I want to check in on some people who tried some Sams. How about we listen to a voice memo from someone who participated in the August challenge?
All right. We've wrapped up our August 31 days of challenge Augustness. And we asked people if they wanted to send us some voice memos. We got us a few recordings from some people who participated. Let's hear the first one now.
During the August challenge, I learned a few things about myself. Getting out and moving at least 1 mile every day feels really good. I'm really bad at journaling. Sam exercises are pretty cool and effective. I'm supposed to drink how much water? Bottoms up. Taking a 3 mile run at noon on a work day is something I could see myself doing more of. The number of videos online about running took me down a rather long rabbit hole. I found a very funny one from Australia about running a marathon by completing 1 mile each hour while spending the remainder of that hour doing chores. Sam exercises are really kinda hard. I cannot, no matter how hard I try, stay in bed for 8 hours. 5K number one, 29.32. Stretching and foam rolling really do help after a run. A few minutes of sewing and my running belt is good to go, but it's time for a new pair of sneakers. Oh look, more dang Sam exercises. There are just as many videos online about strength training as there are about running, another rabbit hole explored. Setting running goals gives me a whole new perspective on what my next few months will look like. Reaching out to someone I haven't spoken to in a while can have some unexpected benefits. Be quiet, Sam. I'm not talking to you right now. 5K number two, 28.21. Fig Newtons make a fantastic running fuel. When I need to answer the question, why do I run, spending an hour walking in the woods really encourages my mind to think. I couldn't come up with an answer to why I run, but it was very easy for me to think of what I enjoy about running. Then it occurred to me, I run because I love it. Thank you, Brian, Peter, and the whole crew at How Was Your Run Today for a fantastic August challenge, and I look forward to getting my shirt. Oh, and I've actually come to really like the Sam exercises.
So that's fan of the show, avid listener Evening Dupree, who really nails it in my book in terms of covering the gamut of things we tried to present to people, and it's very insightful. Thank you, Evening, for sharing all those thoughts. What'd you think?
I'm gonna say this. I thought it was interesting that all she needed to do was like sew up one running item and she was all set. I made a very timid attempt at going through my running gear, and the one thing I can't do is get rid of my shirts. Some of them have such memories, and I'm like, well, it's not actually torn and dirty, so why would I get rid of it? But I have to cross that line and get rid of some things, because my shirt drawer overfloweth, Peter, and it don't need to, because I only wear like 6 of them, really. You know, I like my Path Project shirts, and I have you know, obviously the branded HWYR t-shirts, a couple of singlets, and a couple other of the newer shirts. I think you're getting what I'm about to put down, which is like anything more than 2 years old is a little stinky and just like a little tired.
Depends on how heavy the rotation. You could have a shirt that's 5 years old, but if you only wear it a few times a year.
Well, that's correct, but it just sits in the bottom of the drawer. It's not, you know, I have to honor the rotation. If I'm not wearing it, why do I have it? That's what I have to say.
You have me there.
Right.
Also, evening, I agree with you that Fig Newtons are perfect. I think Brian disagrees on that.
Maybe I get a little dry mouth on them. It's tough. You have to have adequate...
Well, you've got to have some water.
You have to... Well, adequate water supply, yeah. It's not a not something you could just toss in your mouth as you're running and start chewing on a Fig Newton.
I don't have a whole lot of things I can put in my mouth for fuel that I don't need a little bit of liquid with.
Right.
Because
even,
a goo, which I won't do, but if I were to do a goo, boy, I better have some water.
Yeah, that's true. And frankly, I mean, anytime you're running, you're a little dehydrated typically anyway. At least your mouth gets a little dry.
I guess maybe if I'm eating pieces of apple.
What?
Yeah, if I have cut up pieces of apple in a bag.
As you're running?
Yeah. Well, why were you, making a face?
So much
what?
Work. There. Yeah,
oh, but a banana's okay? I wouldn't know because I dropped mine.
I can't run with a banana. I mean, I am not one to masticate while I run.
Despite what the local papers have said.
Correct.
Running with scissors. Brian, I would like to now hear from friend of the show, Mr. Michael Goff.
Hey, Peter and Brian, it's Michael Goff with my August Challenge recap. First, thanks very much for putting it together. That was a lot of fun and a great way to spend August. There was some stuff I was already doing, things like Sam's that Coach Paul had assigned to me as I'm getting ready for the virtual Boston, testing out new running fuel and post-run recovery stuff. Definitely developed a love for pickle juice, and I don't know that I can explain that, but it was fun, and it was nice, you know, sort of being forced to write about it in the journal. Very, very small journal. Didn't get too deep. But I did think a lot about why do I run? And if I can paraphrase from one of my favorite TV shows, The Good Place, the reason is friends. And obviously, thank you guys for building the community that you have. But I run, besides the fact that I like it, because I have friends who run. And even if they're virtual friends on Strava, just the support that I get and the Strava love when I complete a particularly grueling workout, I know that I can count on those folks to cheer me on, and I will do the same for them. And as Father Dan said recently, you know, when he was talking about the wave issue, you know, just meeting new people and waving as you run and making new friends at the track and seeing them elsewhere. So thanks again for the August challenge. It was a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Michael, I'm going to confess to you that I currently, on the top shelf of my refrigerator, have a quarter-filled jar of pickle juice that I swig from every once in a while I come back from a run, and I like it. I don't want to like it, but I do like it. It instantly, like, it does a thing. Have you tried it, Brian?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a big pickle juice drinker. Like, I like to eat pickles, especially while I'm running. I will drink it because I know it has beneficial effects. I'll tell you who doesn't like it, and we found this out in a real way, that Lori Sandaler.
Not down with the pickle brine?
Don't even put the pickles in any container that may come close to a container with food that she might want to eat. Just nope. Nowhere near it.
Thank you, Michael, for sharing your experiences. We want to wish Michael and the entire Boston Bulldogs team good luck on the virtual Boston Marathon that's happening as this show is being available to you. And good luck, everybody.
I'm not participating in the virtual Boston Marathon, are you?
I'm virtually not participating.
No. I did the backyard Boston Marathon.
We did that, and we might have to do another one. Yeah. The way things are going. We'll just see.
Maybe next year.
Just calm down, everybody.
I have a question for you, Peter. You know, both Evening and Michael said they got to the question of why do they run.
Yeah.
Can you answer that question?
I need to think about it some more.
All right. Well, while you're thinking, why don't we hear from Aaron Keller?
Hey folks, Prop Master Aaron Keller here with my August Challenge check-in. This month has been a lot, like a lot, a lot. I didn't end up hitting the challenge as hard as I wanted because like so much of this year, life completely just upended and threw everything out of whack. I did run at least a mile every day this month, and I kept a consistent running journal, which has bled over into more journaling in general. I've also been more consistent with SAMS and mobility work, which has actually really made a big difference. Mostly, I tried to focus on picking one thing a week, like calling friends and reaching out to people that I admire. And so while I may not have checked all the boxes, I still consider this challenge a pretty big success. I think my favorite piece of the challenge by far was the editing out your running gear. I got a lot more material for masks from cycling out some shirts, but I also started adding some great new gear, primarily as a result of starting to work as a fit specialist in my local running store. So if anyone has any questions about shoes, I'm more than happy to help. There's a lot of really cool and exciting advancements happening now, and I just love talking about shoes, and we'll do it at any time. So anyway, I'm looking forward to carrying a lot of these challenges into September. Oh, and by the way, Father Dan, 100%, I will engineer a running Jawa costume for you. It'll go really well with the Wicket costume that I've been working on for myself. And Peter, just let me know what you want, and we'll get a whole Star Wars minority race group together. It'll be amazing. So, all right, friends, stay safe, run well, be happy. See ya.
Erin, I've already written to you, but Brian, I'll share with you that I sent her what I think my outfit should be, which is, you remember the giant pig-like guards, the Gamorrean guards that worked for Jabba?
Empire Strikes Back.
No, Return of the Jedi, but...
That one.
Good call. Anyway, that's what I'm going for. Sort of greenish, a lot of coverage, maybe some fur. Well, because I'm thinking Crankle. I'm thinking it's going to be cold at some point.
Right.
So, Gamorrean guard. You can look that up there on the Wookiepedia.
Oh, that's smart. Hey, so did you think about why you run?
I thought it was really good that she told us about her new purchases and that she's added to her closet full of running gear, but only after going through and doing the task, which was part of the challenge of eliminating sort of the older stuff. So that's a real thing, right? I mean, this is a constant ebb and flow, you know, much like the sneakers we're all going to have to retire after a couple hundred miles or whatever. You're just constantly trying to do new things.
Well, I had that with the hydration situation, which was every time I went out for a certain distance run in certain conditions, I kept thinking, well, if I had this thing, all this would be easier. And then I'm like, well, that's not a thing I need. I shouldn't buy that.
That's
like,
where I've been. That's where
I'm
I've
not
been.
That kind of runner. And then I just broke down and said, hello, moron.
Yeah, that you just described me with this hydration pack situation.
If you bought it.
Yeah, just get it.
You would stop wishing you had it every week.
Because here's the thing, the bottle that I have that form fits my hand with the strap and the little pocket, no.
Right.
I don't want that. I don't mind the bottle. The bottle's good. I actually take it with me and put it in backpacks or take it with me when I drive or do whatever. Or I guess I've brought it with me on a few runs recently, but it always throws me off.
Right.
Coach Paul says, yeah, that actually might throw your gait off too because you're doing a certain thing with this hand.
Of course.
Affecting the other alternate hip, leg. So you do have to be careful. A backpack, I think, for me is the way to go. And all I'm doing is hemming and hawing and not ordering it. And I just have to go ahead and do it.
Yes.
So that's why I run. I feel like we have one more person who wants to tell us about their experiences.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Hey Brian, hey Peter, it's Corinne the Running Unicorn, and now with this message, a 31 Days of August Challenge completionist. I learned a few things about myself over the month, first and foremost being that I am not a great daily journaler. Don't get me wrong, I had a lot of fun putting together my running log for the month, but even having a pretty pre-formatted log to fill in, coming up with things to say sort of escaped me. I usually just record my stats in a training log, and then if I have something to say about the run, I'll put it on Insta. I guess it's good to know that's what works for me. The challenge did help me track and realize that I am not a great sleeper in quarantines, which is too bad because that's something I usually excel at. But I remain solid on hydration. Also, I like doing SAMs. I did them after almost every run in August, and I'm definitely going to hang on to those. Maybe I'll warm up to stride someday. Ultimately, August is a month that usually starts out nice and easy for me and then gets progressively more intense as my work life gets busier towards the start of the academic year. This year, even more than most. But the challenge helped me keep on track with rebuilding the running basics that I promised myself I'd do as I come back from a surgery I had in April. Things like strength, mobility, but also keeping an honest eye on my forward progress. So thanks for hosting this month-long challenge and keeping me on track. I can't wait to hear about how it went for fellow listeners, and I really look forward to a 2021 version. Hope to see you guys out there.
Corinne, thank you so much for your experiences, and I'm excited because we're all going to have our shirts. They're coming any minute now, the exclusive singlets for next August.
No, for this August. What are you talking about for next August?
Well, you get to wear them next August. Oh. Like, I'm going to wear mine every single day in August.
Correct.
I'm never going to wash it.
Right.
And I'm going to wear it every single day. Did you think it was interesting that everybody talked about journaling in their messages to us?
Well, it's the one thing they had to do every day. So, no, I'm not so surprised.
It wasn't the one thing. There were two things everybody
had
to do.
Yes, you had to move every day and you had to write in the journal. But I think that journal writing is not something that everybody does. And I actually really liked what Corinne said, which was the practice reinforced what already reinforced not what we were giving her. It reinforced the system she already had that worked, which was writing comments on Instagram and keeping her log in her journal, which is great. I mean, why not? Sometimes you have to step away, do something different to know what you have is already working out pretty well. That's cool.
I will now let you know that I have kept up with the journaling even through the first full week of September into the second week of September. I like to do it because it's just a little bit of time for me, my brain, while I'm having coffee. And it's usually, sometimes it's, I didn't do it by the end of the day yesterday. I'll quickly refresh myself with what I did yesterday, and I'll have a look ahead for today. And it's also important because you and I are on this path right now to do this event in October, I actually don't remember day to day what I'm supposed to be doing. I kind of vaguely know.
Yeah.
But part of that's COVID too. I don't necessarily know what day it is all the time. Throw a holiday in there, I'm all wackadoodle. I don't know what's going on. So it's really good for me to sit. I open up the email from Paul. I sit with my calendar. I mark the previous day's thing in my journal. I say a few things. I give myself sort of a psych up, a pep. Because you're going to be shocked by this, but some days I don't want to do stuff.
Well, there's some days I don't do stuff.
Yeah, it's hard, but the response we got overwhelmingly was supportive on this challenge thing. Everybody seemed to get something out of it who participated. There's one person we didn't hear from who I really thought we would, and I don't know if you remember, but Igor Babushkin. So it turns out Igor had a pretty busy August, and he made some time for me. I think around the second day of September, he came over, sat on my deck. We had some socially distance-based beverages, and we chatted and caught up on sort of life stuff. And because I hadn't seen him in certainly half a year or more, and he doubled down right there in front of me and said, I'm doing the August 31 days challenge. I'm just doing it 30 days and the first 30 days to September and one day of October.
Really?
That's what he said.
That's
so
great.
So I'm not calling him out or anything on the podcast saying that he has to tell us how that's going, but he said he was doing that. He swore a blood oath to me that that's what he was doing. So, I mean, it's, you know, by the time this is out, it's almost the middle of the month. I'm sure he was actually going to try to do it all in one day because he heard you say that. But I said, no, take your time. He said, no, I'll do it during the month of September and one day in October. And I thought, hey, that's an adequate, I mean, it's a state of mind, man. It's not really the calendar. It's really wherever you need it to be.
He doesn't get a shirt, though.
No, he bought a shirt.
Did he?
Well, because he knew he wanted to be a part of it, and he definitely wants to be a part of it.
Well, now he definitely, you know, I was going to give Igor the benefit of the doubt and give him a lot of slack, but if he bought a shirt.
I know, he's in.
Yeah, he really needs to do it.
Yeah, he's in, so there's that. So, Brian, I run for a lot of reasons. I mostly do it, I think, truly for my mental health more than my physical health. That's sort of the thing I sort of tapped into with my journaling and other meditative thoughts around why I do it. Because coming off of the numerous injuries I had over the last two and a half, 3 years, yeah, it's mental health why I do it. Physical health is great. It's a great bonus. It certainly feels good to not always be logy and weird and all those things. But no, there's, yeah, it's been especially challenging time. So thankfully I've had that outlet. So that's why I do it. Why do you run, Brian?
Peter, thanks for asking. I will say this. I didn't know I was doing it for mental health until I was several years into running. And I think I've said before, you know, when my kids would say, Dad, you need to go for a run, because I become like a psycho. And you got to go out and do it. So the consistency of this year, and especially of the August challenge, has been great for that. Over and above those things, I would say there are great physical benefits. Well, I'm going to put a pin in that. The other emotional thing, and maybe it's just intellectual, I'm not sure, but after any run, even if it's a piece of crap, and I think you know what I'm saying when I say that.
Because most of my runs are that.
Even if your run is a piece of crap, you've accomplished something. And any time I finish a run, even if I meant to go out for 6 and I went for 5 and I walked a mile home, I've still accomplished something. And that is a great feeling to have at any point in your day. It doesn't need to be a competition. It doesn't need to be an event. It even doesn't need to be impressive, but you have done something. And I really hang on to that a lot. Say, yep, I've done it. And that's why early morning runs are great, but sometimes the afternoon or evening runs are just as wonderful. And then I'll put one more on there because someone asked me this.
Are we going back to the pin? Because you put a pin somewhere.
This is the pin. I'm pulling the pin out. I'm going to read what
it
says.
Now you're pulling the pin.
Yeah. So what it says on the pin is this. Someone last summer asked me, why do you do this? Because I was deep into November Project at that time. We were going to Millinocket. I think I had just run my first supported ultra, blah, blah, blah. I said, why do you do this? And I honestly responded. I said, because it's the fountain of youth. Because I don't feel as if I am aging when I am involved in this stuff. Now, as I'm doing it, as I'm struggling to manage a 9-minute mile, do I feel youthful? No, I feel like I'm 100 years old when I can't get out of bed because my legs are destroyed or anything like that, or I wind up sleeping for 10 hours because I went for a bunch of long runs. Do I feel youthful? No, but the majority of the time, do I feel as if I'm in stasis? Yeah. I mean, in my real feel, I don't know what age means. I don't know how you're supposed to feel at my age, but I feel younger now than I did probably 10 years ago. I think that's a real thing. Now, maybe I have a filter in me that's making me think that, but I know I don't. There were both physical and mental, emotional things you feel as you age. And I feel like the running and the constant sense of completion and activity really, really, really helps. And that didn't start when I was running. It has taken years for that to become like, oh, that I've really gotten into that groove.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah, even with the injuries and the stuff, and maybe that's what made me come to that answer, which was, You know, I had hip surgery a couple of years ago and I was out of it for a bunch of months. And yeah, I had to come back, but I did.
Yeah, I think it's important. There's a couple people I'm thinking of right this minute who are suffering from either, they're either in the medical tent for a muscle pull or a ligament pull or back strain or another procedure or something that has forced them to limit their usual ability or physical activity level. And that's really hard. And I, as someone who has had some sort of chronic thing happen, one or the other, whether it be the blood clots from my surgery or the stupid hamstring I had in the spring, like, oh my gosh, when you have to take, when you're forced to take time down and you know it's the right thing to do, you know you have to do it. Like, it's not really a question of should I do that? No, you have to do it. It's really hard. It's really challenging. And you never see past that right there, that obstacle right there in front of you, which is that injury and that much needed recovery time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to remember, and I'm saying this for people I'm thinking about, but I'm really saying it for me, because I know even with Sam's and being cautious and being careful, something's going to happen and I'm going to have to take time down again in the future. I know it. It's just realistic.
No, it's inevitable. Sure.
I got to remember, and it's important to remember, that you can get through it. That time has to be there. It has to be honored. It has to be treated with respect. If you jerk around with it, you're only setting yourself up for more hardship. But if you can meet it, and if you can sit with it, you can get through it, and you can get past it. And you can be on the other side of it, and it will feel wonderful to be on the other side of it. And you'll be able to say, I got on the other side of that, and I'm back, or I'm starting to come back to, or I'm looking to try this now, or I'm going to attempt this now. And those are really important passages that we have to go through. And it's so hard to see it when you're in it. It's so hard. And so that's my message right now to people who I know need to hear it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And I think your perspective, and I have a similar perspective, only come through experience. Lots and lots of experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Of having to be sidelined. And when I said Fountain of Youth, it's not like I feel like I'm 25. I don't even feel like I'm 45. I feel as if I am the most youthful version of the person I am right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's not like the last time I was injured and I had to take, you know, weeks or months off. I'm no longer comparing myself to the person the day before the injury happened. I'm coming at it as the person who is now beginning again from wherever I'm at post-injury. Because injury and recovery are part of the process.
Absolutely.
And you may, again, regain whatever your metric is, whether it's a time or a distance or a pace or whatever. You may or may you may not. But you will probably learn something new.
By far. Definitely.
Right?
Without a doubt.
And you may have new goals and you may have new appreciation of things. Like, I think that you thought a lot about pace for a long time. Maybe you still do, but I think now you're putting a lot of emphasis on distance because you're chewing it up. You're seeing miles and distances during the week and the month that you've never seen before.
Yeah, I've sort of let pace go in the sense that I don't really care that I can't get back to maybe what I was doing 5-6 years ago.
Right.
That doesn't really matter to me. What's more impressive to me is like, wow, I just had an August that had the highest number of miles I've ever run in a given month. Now, I don't necessarily need to beat it ever again. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But it's just kind of cool that I can have that metric and be like, whoa.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, your perspective has changed. And I don't think that it's any less than what you had 5 years ago because you're...
It's just different. It's just different. Yeah, it's just different, which is terrific. So stay at it. Keep going. It's hard. It's hard when you're in it, though. It's hard when you are down and out.
Of course
to
is.
See past that. That cloud can be thick and that can be heavy. And you may not want to hear other people being positive because it's important to be in that negativity and feel it and process it.
Well, especially when there's very little that you can do except rest and not run and maybe do PT twice a week.
Yeah, and especially when it's not an injury like, oh, I have to have my knee replaced or I need to have that bolt put into my foot. Right. Like when it's that very specific and delineated, you're like, oh, okay, well, this to this, and then it's 6 weeks of this, and then 4 more weeks of that. But when it's something more chronic, like your fasciitis or your tendonitis, or if you have repetitive back injuries or whatever it is, right? Those nagging things, those lingering things, that's really hard because you feel so helpless around it. Like you're just like...
Right, or it's something that has nothing to do with running. You know, you can have an injury on another part of your body that's completely unrelated, and your cardiovascular fitness and your leg strength may be unaffected at first, but you can't run because you have to recover from this other thing, and that is also very frustrating.
It's tough.
But, you know, get well and then start the slow road back.
Yep, it's a process, and journal the whole time. And I'm not a big believer in you have to be positive every single day. I'm not that guy. I do think it's better to go that route. But sometimes when you're in it, you just got to be down and out and push through that to get to the good.
I had one of those. You want to know what I did?
What's that?
I know we wanted to end the show, but I want to tell you this, Peter.
I don't want to end the show. We just need to because people have other things they have to do.
I know, but listen, we didn't give them a show last week, so one last anecdote. Why not?
Anecdote away.
Okay, so I'm doing, I think it was something like a mile warm-up or a mile and a half warm-up, and then 4 1.5 mile repeats.
Worst.
At race pace.
Nope.
So that, and then a mile cool down. So we're looking, I didn't even figure it out. I got in the car, I drove to where I was going to do it on this rail trail. And now I'm like, oh, I'm in for 10 miles. Awesome. And and it was like a work day and it was the middle of the day. And the moment I stepped on the rail trail, the clouds broke open, sun came out. And
awesome.
I'm like, why had I left my water bottle behind? So actually the first 2 mile and a half repeats were fine. I was kind of cruising. I loved it. Then, you know, the heat started to get to me. The lack of water started to get to me. But those are just excuses, really. The third one was really hard. And then the fourth one, I stopped a couple of times. I just thought, well, I'm not hitting my pace goal, and I might as well just lie down here and die, and that would be fine. Because
be
that's, you know, your brain starts going, you're like, oh, I didn't have enough water. I might be having organ shutdown right now. That's probably what's happening. That's probably what I'm feeling. No,
on mile three.
Yeah, no, you're tired. No, I was like, I'm on mile 7. Come on, give me or 8. Give me a little credit. But it's like, no, you're not having organ failure. You're tired. It's hard. That's why they call it training. It's a quality hard work day. Yeah, you should have brought a little more water, but you're not dying. But these are thoughts that are going through my head. And then, Peter, you were just saying sometimes you don't need to have a positive attitude.
Sometimes it's good.
I didn't. I just said, shut up.
Oh, were you baby man?
Eliminate. No. I was the opposite.
You're trying to stop.
I was like,
you're,
bad attitude. I go,
you're quiet
fine.
Down.
If this is what you want, fine. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just said, fine. And I did this thing where I just like locked my hips in a plane, and I just said, whatever, at least I get to my car faster if I'm not walking. So I did something that resembled running.
So go get it.
But my gaze was fixed on a point like 4 feet in front of me. Nope, straight down to the ground. Like 3-4 feet in front of my feet, and I just lasered on that.
Machined it out.
And anytime I looked up and looked to the side or noticed someone coming, my pace got crazy, my hips went everywhere, I could barely run, but then I would lock in, and at one point I looked down and I'm like, this is cool down mile, and I'm still running like a sub-9 minute mile, and it's like, oh, I have actually found something, which is like the hate run. Like hate scrolling Or what do people do on the internet?
They rage scroll.
Rage scrolling?
Yeah, you were rage running.
I was rage running.
You were rage running.
And it was
running.
Like I didn't care about pace, but my pace actually picked up. I think it had to do with like efficiency of form. But it was really just like, you know, Anakin Skywalker. The hate was flowing through me. No.
And I don't know why you got to bring up that stuff.
I was on the Wikipedia and I was looking it up. Yay! And anyway, while you were talking, I was Wikipediaing and I looked up Anakin
Skywalker.
That's
fine. So you were rage running and it gave you a focus.
It gave me a focus. It was amazing. I don't want to go back there again.
No, but you know you can tap it if you need to.
That now it's a tool in the toolbox.
Coach Paul and I talk about this a lot. And right. He said, what are you going to rely on when the stuff starts to go sideways?
Yes.
When you hit the skids, what's your self-talk? What's your mental place? What's your game?
Yeah.
And typically I break like a baby man.
Right.
And I love it every time. And no, but I think steering into the skid the way you did was really smart because you basically, I got a wound here. I'm going to put some salt on it, rub it, keep running. And you fueled that fire with it to get to that end result, which is I just got to get to my car and not have my credit card work. So do what you have to. I hear you.
Rage running.
Well, it's funny because you've evolved then from bad run Brian to rage run Brian. And that's I see that as a step up.
Well, it's funny because the bad run Brian incident, you know, led me back to a session with Emily Saul, and she gave me some tools that I use. I didn't use those. I was beyond those tools. I use those all the time now. I haven't had one of those bad run Brians since then. She cured me of that.
Emily Saul of the November Project.
This was different, and I like all of a sudden jumped beyond all of those mental tricks and emotional tools and right into whatever this mode was, Terminator mode.
I like it.
I'm not sure I did, but it worked.
Can I anecdote on to your anecdote? Because we got to go.
Yeah. People are doing their, they've finished their run.
They're not listening.
They're lying in their backyard doing their SAMs.
I hope they are.
And they're like, I'm tired of the clamshells, guys. Shut it down.
Move on. Is there always the same number when you look down at your watch? If you're running and you don't look at your watch for a long time,
right.
I've noticed a thing in my world where it's always just about to be that number of a mile spent. Meaning, like before, you know, your watch beeps at you when you hit a mile.
Yes.
Is there a number that you see more often than not on a super long run? I'll give you an example. So in my world, it's always I'm just reaching 3/4 of that next
mile.
Okay, I
see what you're
asking. I always see it go from 0.74 to 0.75. And when I see 0.75, I'm like, I got this mile in the bag, dude. These are the games I play, though, because you're doing it like this is my 16th time looking down at my watch this way.
Right.
Oh my God, it's almost 0.72. It's 0.73. It's 0.7. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. I was doing this that night run I was telling you about, where I had to run as fast as I could for an hour.
Yeah.
At one point, and I'm doing this up in New Hampshire, no street lights, no ambient light, no light from houses, nothing.
Sure.
Just my headlamp on a road.
Yeah.
And I'm running and I'm at like whatever, 4.5, and I'm running and I'm making a mental thing like, okay, I'm going to run down this path and then this road and then that should get me back and it'll be perfect and I'll have nailed it. And I'm like, now I'm cruising. Let me look back down at my watch, 4.6. And I
didn't amazing.
Stop, but I laughed out loud.
Oh, it's amazing.
I had gone 1/10 of a mile and it felt like I had made the progress of a million miles.
It's because Albert Einstein wasn't a runner. It's physics.
Hey.
This has been episode 207 of How Was Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music was composed, as always, by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnygould is our artist in residence.
Peter, you and everyone else listening to this program can join us on Saturdays for the Sat Stat Chat. Go on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and please include a sweet, sweet photo. Peter, I want to say that this episode, like so many before them, was brought to us by Path Projects. That's pathprojects.com.
I'm wearing Path Projects right now because I carry my phone and my keys, and I even shoved an apple into the back pocket. Wasn't easy, but I got it in there.
Peter, I've owned these shorts for months. I found a pocket just last week that I didn't even know existed.
The secret pocket?
There's a little secret pocket with a sweet, sweet zipper on it. I found it. I thought,
was it like high up on the side?
No, it's sort of low on the side. And I thought, this is a sweet little pocket. I'm going to find a use for you. I'll probably put a goo packet in there and forget it and find it in like 6 months.
Wait a minute. I think I just found one.
Yeah, see?
It's way down here.
Yes. It's the
holy
hidden,
cow.
Right?
That's weird. I have never seen it before.
The utility of these shorts continue to
exceptional,
amaze.
Exceptional. www.pathprojects.com. It's not too late, everybody. You can send us your voice memos talking about the challenge, even though we sort of did that today. But if you have some thoughts you want to share with us, I'm looking at you, Igor. You got to tell us how you're doing. We're happy to take it. You can reach us, of course, at howwasyourruntoday@gmail.com.
Peter, I just want to give a special thanks to the thousands of landscaping crews which are in my neighborhood today while we're trying
they
to
were
record.
All here. Well, it was a convention. It
we're
was a
outdoors.
Rolling convention of lawnmowers and leaf blowers.
We're trying to be responsible. And then when the airplane flew way too low over our heads, that was the end of everything.
Yep. And special thanks to Winnie, your dog, for barking so much.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Zoom was fine.
I see so many disposable masks now.
No. Hold on. Let's be careful here. I'm not picking those up. Well, of course I did. I picked up like two, but here's what I did. I used a leaf to pick them up.
Okay.
Gamorrean guard. You can look that up there on the Wikipedia. You can look that up there on the wiki. No. You can look that up there on the Wikipedia. What? Your dog wants to be part of the show today.
Now a man will drive an actual lawnmower down the street.
Why do you live in the loudest town?